Hi guys, my name's Adele Onyango and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. And here we are with another episode. Let me tell you, every single week when I put up a new episode, I'm like, wow, we're actually doing this. We are podcasting. And learning as we go. Obviously, I'm still trying to master the audio to get it to a really, really crisp level. So I'm having teething problems with my audio, but I appreciate the support all the same. And I promise I'll just keep trying to get it better into a whole new level with every episode. I also need to say a big thank you to everybody who I meet in random spaces, who shows this podcast so much love. Man, I'm just like, I don't know. I did not expect that. I didn't. So that's why every episode is like starting with Thanksgiving, you know. But yeah, so I truly do appreciate it. And we have an Instagram page now that's at Legally Clueless Podcast. So I just try and make it a corner of inspiration and just a safe space. And an extension of the safe space that is this podcast. Yeah, so go and follow and, you know, we can chat on that side. So this is coming off of a weird weekend, problematic even, because Sunday was Mother's Day. And I remember Mother's Day with my late mom was just the best. Like, there's no Mother's Day that would pass without us getting her flowers. She was a real plant flower person, a box of chocolates, and just hanging out with her the entire day. And so Mother's Day is kind of strange because there's nothing to do. There's no one to hang out with. So sometimes I can get a bit moody. In fact, this past Mother's Day, I was extremely moody. I think I sparked unnecessarily at my husband a couple of times during the day, but I'm so thankful that he's so patient and he understood. And then randomly through the day, I ended up sending money via mobile money to the wrong person, and they were taking time to reverse it, and I thought they were a thief. It was just a stressful day. But the beautiful part of it was that during the week, an artist had taken from my timeline one of my favorite photos of my mom that I had shared and done a portrait of it and then surprised me with it. And so I remembered that, oh yeah, I still have that portrait during the day on Mother's Day. So just looking at it and trying to figure out where on the wall it's gonna go, what frame it's gonna be in, just brought back some warmth and some positive vibes to the day. So that was pretty cool. Make sure you check him out on Instagram. His name is Eliamin_Inc. But this episode is not about Mother's Day as much as I've been talking about it for the last 2 minutes. It's actually to do with therapy. So a couple of episodes ago, I had my best friend Val on it, and we're both firm believers in therapy. And she's doing this thing on her blog where she's going to host a therapist and ask the therapist all the questions we've either been too afraid to ask or we just didn't know who to ask them to. All your questions on therapy, if you've been considering going for therapy, if you're afraid of it, if you're thinking costs, whatever your questions are, she's going to be asking the therapist. So I thought that was a really cool thing Val was doing in terms of therapy on her blog and giving you a chance to ask all of these questions. So what I did a couple of weekends ago was hijack her and sit her down in front of this mic, and we had a talk about therapy. So one thing that we have in common, so many things in common, one of those things is therapy and our love for therapy. I read a quote that said, therapy is the, dear men, therapy is the new tall duck in Hamtramck. But so let's start from the very beginning and how we got into therapy. So for me, it was after opening up to my mom about surviving rape, and the two things she asked me was like, did you go to hospital and get checked up? And that we have to take you to therapy. And I think what works in my favor is that I was in a really broken point. So I couldn't object as hard because I didn't have any other options I was bringing to the table to solve the situation. The first therapist that we went to was really bad. It was so bad. He was way older and very rooted in the church. And that would, and very unprofessionally, it would seep into the sessions. I'm not deeply rooted in the church. Like, I'm spiritual, but I'm not, I don't know Bible verses or anything like that. So that was problematic. And then I felt like he wasn't listening. The energy was just not right. And so that didn't last more than one or two sessions. And then we found a therapist who I think is one of the best therapists, and then she relocated to Geneva. I don't know why, but so her office, like when you walked in, all the walls were different colors, and she had like huge pillows on the floor, and it really just matched my energy. It did not feel like, you know, on the inside you're falling apart, and you don't want the outside to make it even worse. You want it to be more grounded and more okay so that you can feel vulnerable in that space and not feel attacked. So I remember the first session, which was very strange. She made me fill out a form. And this form, basically, I had to write out like how many hours I was sleeping, how often was I eating. Weird things that at the time I didn't see any correlation. Even when I was doing it, I was like, this is some dumb stuff. Like, I sleep, okay? And we would do those checks, especially at the beginning, maybe every month. But I'm glad that I didn't cancel therapy after the first guy. Because then if anybody met me, I would think that's the definition of therapy. And I'd just be like, no, they'll just tell you about prayer and stuff like that. I think it is something that's very important to me. In terms of a release, so it's not only when things are falling apart. That's one of the things I love. But also in therapy, I've learned like how powerful your mind is. Like, it's so weird how even physically things will physically come about because of your mental space.
I tried therapy first in 2011, but it didn't work because I wasn't serious about it. A therapist is not there to fix your life. You're the one who has to want it for yourself, and then they'll give you all the tools that are necessary. Yeah. So I was just at a place where I think I just didn't want to start doing the work to start healing, because it's a lot of work. So I was comfortable with my many bandages. Now, people tend to use, you can use religion, you can use sex, you can use alcohol, you can use work.
Yeah.
So many things as a bandage. So I was very comfortable with my bandages. And so I left it until 2017. Now, because when my mom was diagnosed with cancer in 2012, she thought she might have, if she's lucky, she'll get 5 years to live. So in 2017, I came into the year knowing my mom might die at any time this year. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, I needed help with that. Because even if she'd been sick, it's still not easy to accept. Yeah. And I needed, and I'm like, I need my mom. She, you know, for her, she'd been sick a while. So she'd started to prepare for her death from a very long time ago. And the thing that used to worry her in abundance was if her kids would be okay. Yeah. Like, I honestly think my mom would have died much sooner if she knew they'd been okay much sooner. And so I said, I owe it to her to at least show that I'm finally taking the steps to
be okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we started therapy in earnest in March 2017. I used to go twice a month for the whole year. And I can say without any exaggeration that therapy saved my life. Let me see if I can explain this. But it's just when you're ready to do the work and then you find a therapist that fits, because you see, like what you said, I remember even when I was talking to one of my sisters about it, and I told her, okay, fine, I'm ready to now start doing therapy in earnest. And she's like, and I'll pray that you get a good therapist, because if you don't get one you vibe with,
it's like a relationship.
Yes, you can't easily open up to them about some things because you're like, oh, it might not go, they might judge me, or they might think I'm this or this and that. And so when you get someone who you're free to say the stuff and telling yourself out loud is hard, then it's quite the blessing. And I was very lucky because I had that from Candy, my therapist. She just gave me these gems in life that she helped me see things. Like, I didn't know I had held onto my pain for so long. Such that it reaches a point, Ed Sheeran, I like the song he says, and I find comfort in my pain. Mm. As you've lived with this pain for so long, it now becomes part of your identity.
Yeah. And it's a good crutch. Yeah.
But the thing is, sometimes you don't even realize it, but you keep saying you want to get better. And then you do things that are the absolute opposite of getting better. And it's just because you don't know, when you take away this part that has been your identity for so long, who am I without
what's
this
left?
Yeah. When I don't have this and that and the other to blame for why I'm angry or short tempered or I drink too much or
who am I going to blame now?
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's and also you have to have a level of self-awareness to get there. So therapy works, don't get me wrong, but it only works if you want it to work.
So I remember having a conversation with like a common friend of ours, not going to name.
Let me see if I can guess this.
No, and trying to force them to go into therapy because, and I had to, I went through a phase. I went through a phase because I felt like it had done so much for me. And so I was in my head, like trying to force everyone. If you came to me and said, you know, I'm having a bad day at work, have you tried therapy? You know, so I was like forcing everybody. And then getting frustrated when I'm like, are you not seeing how I am being helped? Why don't you want this for you? And that's so true because, I mean, now they are in therapy, but back then they hadn't reached that level of knowing that in all of these chaos, this is, you know, you also have to be able to say, okay, well, how am I contributing to this also? You know what I mean? And why am I contributing to this? And it's so easy to call everyone out except yourself. Calling yourself out is just like, because then disappointing yourself is very hard. Like, you know, it's to take it.
Yeah.
So, but you have to be at that level where you're like, I am now willing to come to the table and just accept what I'm doing wrong and be able to change that.
Yeah. And Avanzant, she put it very well. She's like, what am I doing to create the present situation I find myself in?
Mm.
Ask yourself that very honestly because we're not as passive as we think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not as passive. So whether if it's like this guy for the 10th time, you picked this fuckboy and you're... Even you need to ask yourself, why do I keep going for the fuckboys? Yeah. Why do I keep going for the same type of guy and expecting different?
When I
expect that things will be different. So maybe next time you go, well, that's the guy who normally catches my eye. Let me avoid and I don't know whatever it is, but at the end of the day, we're not passive. I'd rather as passive as sometimes shit just happens. Don't get me wrong. A lot of the times you'd have to find it like, okay, but what part did I play?
And it's a repeat. It's like a cycle. Yeah. You're in the cycle. Yeah. That you're also contributing to. You're not a bystander. One of the stories that got sent into the podcast, there's a girl who said she was very scared of going to therapy. So she didn't know what that first session was going to be like, whether she'd want to open up to this person, A. B, whether they would listen and not judge. So they're all emotions that I think I had at that first session, like where you're just like, and I was pretty young, so I'm like, this person is just going to be like, watoto wa siku hizi, with all their issues, and you have a roof over your head, school fees is being paid, and you're still, you know what I mean? So I was scared, like, that's what I was going to be looked at, like, but what were your fears for your first?
I really don't think I remember my first, like, 2011 one, because I did want to go. My mom was one who forced me, so I don't remember it very well. But if I was to think the 2017 one, it lasted, like, 2.5 hours, because the first session is normally the longest, because they're trying to find out what's up. So, in fact, she'd said it lasts 1.5 hours to 2. Then from there going forward, we'd be doing 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. We did like 2.5 hours. And then I did a lot of talking. I did. In fact, that first session, if you find a therapist who's going to do more talking, then you'll be very worried.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. She'd ask questions here and there, but she just really wanted to find, and she really paid attention because she could tell when I'm telling a difficult part of the story because she'd say now my hands would get tense or I'd start, you know, wringing my hands or something like that. But I immediately knew I found the right person. Yeah. So in fact, I even said, if I come and I don't like her vibe, I'm not going to come again.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell her, yeah, I don't think this is great. I don't want you looking for me next week. And I'm like, I don't think. So, but it was very, I knew I'd found someone that I wanted to have in my corner. Even now, if I'm not doing therapy now, but we still talk with her every now and then, we catch up. And so the first was very, if I was to put it in one, I'd say I felt very safe.
That's really good. Because most people feel vulnerable. And even when you leave, I remember now the second therapist wondering and really trying to think, is there a connection between her and anyone in my family? Because I was like, what if like she speaks about it? I mean, what if that's always something? It took me a long time to feel like, I don't know, maybe it's because I worry too much or I just try and overthink. You know, Nairobi is just small.
It's true.
And so it was very, I was like, maybe my demons are best with me because at least then it's me who knows them. That was a fear I had.
But I get why I'd say that. I know someone who used to go to therapy. Sometimes I both know this therapist. I'll tell you on the side. But she used to go for therapist with this lady.
Yeah.
And now, you see, this lady, what she would do is she'd try to give examples. Like, for example, like this person I know, the time she was raped.
Yeah.
So to use an example, she's like, she used you saying how you were raped before, but because, you know, you've overcome it, etc. So even you can move forward, which is fine. But now how she'd tell her stories about her other clients, and this therapist was someone from the office, so she was able to deduce whose story it is that she's talking about from the office. And I was like, if you have a therapist who gives you mushene,
that is a
run.
Yeah, because
that
people,
means your stories as well are fair game.
They're being used just in because another session.
And you see that chick was trying to rationalize it, like, but she doesn't use their names. I'm like, fine, but she tells you enough that you can guess who it is. That's just a no. And I think that's why some people also don't like therapy. Like, your fear, my therapist will say this, or who will she tell as Nairobi small?
Yeah, because that's why you hang on to your demons as well.
Yes.
You don't want to talk about them, but you're just like, now people will see me in a different light if it gets out.
Yes.
There. That's so terrible.
Imagine.
Why? Because other people's stories don't even come up in your therapy session. It's to unpack your issues and how are they contributing to your trends.
Yeah.
I like Kendi, and you, by the way, will get a chance to ask her some questions on Val's blog, and we'll give you the details at the end of the podcast. In terms of telling people that I'm in therapy, how was that reaction?
I think I told my and I tell my people a lot, but I think I told them this year, last year. After I finished. Oh my God, even my sis didn't know. I don't even think and we live in the same house. I remember one time when I was telling her and my brother, and then later she's like, you just used to think mom is one and who should know your secrets, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have this thing where if I'm dealing with something I don't understand yet, then I'll probably keep it to myself until I know what I'm doing or at least have an idea. Then I can share. But with the therapy, I'm just like, so I think the only person who, well, of course you knew. But my mom knew, my ex at the time knew. Actually, it was last year. I had gone for Pizza Fest and I was telling now OG and Junior to...
One year later. No, because there's a... I don't use the word stigma because but that's very heavy. But there is a stigma. When you say I'm in therapy, immediately people think, oh my God, you don't have your shit together.
In fact, there's some guys I want to do some work with this year now over on the blog for mental health. They're called Project Akili. And one of the things we are keen to do is just that statement that that therapy, if you're either looked at as weak or crazy.
Yeah,
like, girl has got issues from here till tomorrow, as in, you know, like, don't touch, don't go there, and you see, this is something that irritates the fuck out of me, because you see, we pay so much attention to physical health and physical fitness. So like, people at the gym with our mini reps, squats,
and
weights and everything. And you're like, yeah, I drank this in the morning, and then I had this, and I ate a salad, and then the fitness bloggers, and it's such a big thing. Try having the same conversation about mental health, and nobody wants to have that conversation with you. So we see, the way we know if I have a headache, it's this. If stomach, and I'm going to see a doctor because I've had a pass. Nobody allows you then. Society does not allow you to say, oh, I've been feeling my mood swings are all over of late. I think I need to see a psychiatrist. Yeah. Nobody wants to have that conversation with you. So it's so archaic.
It is. And I think also, like, for me, it's that as if you look like you have your stuff in order and then you say I'm in therapy, it's almost like there's a deep sense of confusion as a reaction. Yeah. And so even in my head, I know the circle that it's safe to say it in. You know what I mean? Because then people will start. These are judgments that is passed.
Yeah,
there's a and you're almost treated as less than, or like, give her time, you know, she's starting. You're just like, this is very normal. It's a very normal process that somebody's going through.
Nowadays in my head, because nowadays I feel nothing. I'm all the time, I'm even in therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm still there. My therapist.
Because you have to normalize it.
Whenever anybody gives me this look in my head, I'm like, well, I probably have it more together than you do.
Yes.
So I'm vulnerable enough to know that I need some help. And then I'm strong enough to go out and seek that help instead of being the slave. I refuse to be the slave to my emotions anymore.
Yeah.
So here I am working at that. So I'm like, yeah, you just look at me funny, but I probably handle my anger better than you do. Or
and
whatever
there's nothing
it is,
wrong with what I'm doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you find out while you're, like, the signs that something is off? Like, for example, my biggest shocker was that I sleep a lot when I'm not okay. Like, you know how people have, you call them bandages.
Yeah.
So there's alcohol, there's sex. I think to some degree, mine is sleep.
Sleep.
Yes. And I didn't think it was a problem until I started therapy and I had to do that checklist. And so now I'm more conscious about it. Like, if I sleep a lot, which is hard because I love my sleep, to know when is too much. But what scared me was some weeks ago, and I can't remember who said this statement, or it was somebody who shared it on their Insta stories, that somebody said that they sleep because it's the closest thing to death. And I remember thinking, hey. Literally going like stock take. Am I okay? Like, how much am I sleeping and stuff like that? Because that's my, like, the first sign things are off balance is my oversleeping. That's when I'm like, whoo, what's not okay?
I think, first of all, it doesn't help that I'm melancholic by nature. So I'm drawn to pensive sadness. But then you'll find that sometimes it's harder in my mind. It's harder for me to let the light in as compared to other days. And then I'll have these days where my mind is really dark. Like, it's really taken over by dark thoughts, where I'm irritated with myself, with people around me, and everything is just irritating and annoying. And I'm, you know, so over it. I'm like, I cannot wait to leave this country and never make new everybody in my life, and I'm just tired.
Yeah.
So when I find that it's taking harder for me to pull myself out of the funk, that's when I'm like, I think I need to talk to somebody about this. Someone needs to help me. Because I'm normally very good with taking stock of my emotions, and I'm much better now at calling myself out. Like, when it was me, I'm like, yeah, that was me. But sometimes, just because I know what to do or how to do it, it's still hard. And that's when I'm like, I think I need someone to just help me balance. Yeah. Now, if I was having a stomachache for the 4 days, I'd go and see a doctor. The same thing, if I find like my mind has been in a funk and nothing I'm doing is helping, then I'm like, okay, now I need to see someone about this.
Those days come, and it's sometimes so hard to figure out if it's just a bad day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or what's happening.
Yeah.
It's
PMS.
Yeah. Which just is...
Oh, mine has become so bad of late. I'm just like, ugh.
My PMS is just, I feel like cramps were bad enough. Like, why did we have to extend it? The suffering and all the side effects. Why couldn't we pick one side effect?
I know, yeah.
So if it's cramps. We're all having cramps and we're good. Like, why? Because PMS is, yeah, there are times when I've been confused or I'm just crying and just like, this life, what is all of this? Nothing is working out. And then literally it's like a switch. The next week, I'm just like, oh, wow, we can achieve anything. The time I was thinking I was having a mental, you know, breakdown. Yeah. It's hectic. There's something you said at the beginning, when people feel like therapy should sort out the problem. So I think it's different, or maybe it's similar, from like going for a physical, you have a physical illness and you go and you're told, take these pills 4 times a day or 3 times a day, blah, blah, blah. And then you're okay. And so there's, you know, in 2 weeks or in whatever, I'll be fine. But with therapy, there's a misconception that all I need is 1 session or 2. And miraculously, all the stuff that has been giving me grief for years disappears. And I think that that's what puts people off therapy, and they quit kind of like midway. Because you're like, I'm not seeing any. Where are the results? I'm still really battling with ABCD.
And another thing about therapy that I think also makes people quit early is it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because you'll find there's a lot of stuff you've buried, stuff you don't think about, stuff you don't talk about. But the only way for you to heal is to pull that shit right out of you. As in, you dive in and pull it out. And so you'll find, you'll, people think, oh, my therapist is unfair. They're being mean. They're purposely, you know, this issue, and I'd left. But you hadn't dealt with it. You just buried it. But eventually that bandage will start to sip. So if you don't deal with it, so I remember at least my therapist luckily told me it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because if I'd have been sitting in that chair and then now she's making me talk about stuff I've not talked about, for example, in 10 years, it's hard. As in, honestly, it's very, it's and I can imagine it might be difficult for people to imagine, what do you mean it's hard? You just talk about your feelings. What's so hard about that? But it's when you've not dealt with something, when something caused you so much pain and you've not dealt with it, and then now 3-4 years later you're asked to talk about this thing you've not talked about in 3-4 years. It's emotionally very exhausting.
And it's something that has caused trauma and has a ripple effect. And for me, what I found interesting is also the stuff that you go through, like as a child, that you've almost, you don't even remember it, and then it pops up in a different form, throwing your life into disarray. And it's only then through therapy you're like, oh, that's why I react this way. Like, this certain thing happened such a long time ago.
Like, I wrote about it on my blog. I grew up in a very violent home because my dad had this mood swings. Like, you'd never know which mood he'd come in. Or if he comes in a good mood, you don't know how long that would last. And then I got to realize that through therapy, that that's why I like to be in control. Because I didn't have control over what moods he would come back in, and it really would spoil the whole evening or the whole weekend or whatever it is. So now I don't like finding myself in situations that I'm not in control over. The good thing is, like, when you realize that, is now when you're able to dial back. Now, then I say, have honest conversations with yourself. You're like, you're being a bitch here. Let it go. Or it's okay, somebody else can have their way this time round. As in, you just have to,
because now you're more aware of where it's coming from. It's not from us. A very good place. So what are you doing with Kendi on your blog, so that the people listening who have more questions on therapy can?
I want to start just having conversations around mental health and therapy, because for me, like, I'm like you, like, if I could force everybody to do therapy,
it doesn't work. Tried, tested.
So we're just trying to just get people to see that therapy is not for the weak or for the crazy. In fact, I think it's actually for the strong. It really takes a kind of strength to say, I have a problem and I need some help. Let me go. And even if everybody looks at me, which way, that let them deal with it. It's because in society, and I think especially among our generation, peer acceptance is so huge. To the extent that people then get afraid to be who they are, because you don't want to be too different than what society says. Okay, you can be different, but this is the kind of
this type of different.
So then nobody wants to really it's not nobody, but then it becomes hard to be yourself because you're like, oh, these guys might think I'm this or this or this or this. But I think let's not play around with mental health anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to just your overall well-being, because what you said, the mind is so powerful and what you feed it is key. But sometimes you have difficulty feeding it the love and the good and the kind words and everything like that, where I get where my mind just gets really dark. And it should be okay for you to want to go and get some help.
Yeah.
So now with Candy, at first we want to start with just a question and answer on just therapy in general and what to look out for in a therapist and how to tell if maybe you might need some professional help or some having that conversation with your people. Because my mom would never have survived if she didn't have the support that she had from her sisters and her children and her nieces and nephews and stuff like that. As in, her emotional support was on point. So even when you're in therapy, it's good to let a few people know. Because sometimes you'll come from a therapy session that is so heavy, you need to decompress somehow. So even just now telling your people that, you know, how do you have these conversations with them and just things like that. So we start off just a bit general, and then from there we build to, for me, that's my biggest thing, is just like just making it known that, and I can't say this enough, therapy is not for the weak and it's not for the crazy. As in, I'm not Mwenda Wazimu, you get what I'm saying? Yeah.
And I like that you say that it's a strength, because I think even articulating your emotions and what's going wrong with them is a skill, first and foremost. Yeah. It's such a skill, and it's only very strong people who do that, because it's very easy to just escape them. So people now will be able to send in questions on therapy.
Yes.
And then Candy is going to answer them.
Yes.
Okay. Y'all can leave, if you want to leave a comment or you want to send a voice note with your questions for Candy, she's really dope. I've had her on my show to like deal with people who I'm just like, yeah, there's a problem. Someone needs therapy. Please come. You know? So she's really dope and she's very honest. And so if you've always wanted to try therapy and you didn't know who to ask, because then also that stigma, because people will be like, why are you asking? What do you want? And then it degenerates. You could either send a voice note to the podcast's WhatsApp number that's in the description. I'm also going to put Val's Insta. Is your Insta private? But you can DM.
I'll see the request.
Yeah.
There's something I need to say. So you put up podcast some time back on grief, and then I was looking at the comments, and then there are a few comments and that were left there that I felt I would like to reply.
Yeah.
And then there's one from a lady who I felt you could feel her pain very clearly. So I'm like, this has moved me so much. If ever you want to speak, just DM me. It's fine. So she DM'd me one day, she's like, I really need to talk to you. And then she told me how she misses her mom and everything. She passed away 7 years ago, but the grief is... The way she was talking, fresh. The grief, yeah. It's like her mom died two weeks ago. So of course that made me pause. And so I asked her, I'm like, okay, let me ask. Do you have people that you care about? She's like, yes. I'm like, how does it feel when you see them in pain? And she's like, it breaks my heart. And I'm like, do you believe your mom watches over you? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, so if you have people who you care about and seeing them in this kind of pain breaks you, then it's doing the same thing to your mom. So I asked her, have you ever considered therapy? And this is exactly how she put it. I don't want to forget my mom.
Oh, man.
So for a while, I didn't know what to say. So I just told her, I'm like, I totally get where you're coming from. Believe me, I do. But pain doesn't have to be the emotion that you reserve for how you remember your mom.
Because there's many other emotions and experiences.
Yes. Letting go of the pain doesn't mean you're letting go of her at all. It's not the same thing. And if you say, like me, you believe she's looking down at you, then you want... Let her see you happy. It's a beautiful way to honor her and following your dreams and living this one life as passionately to the most that you can. You know, it's not a rehearsal. It's not.
We don't get a do-over.
No. So you owe it to yourself to be the most passionate, the most engaged, the most present you that you can for as long as that you're going to have on this earth. So I thought that's now difficult for me, because yes, I still feel sad. I remember even that day I was picking up stuff for, I wanted to make sandwiches, and then I picked Sunday Charm, and I'd never bought Sunday Charm since I moved out of my mom's house. And I'm like, I even wanted to put it back. I'm like, I don't even feel like eating sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, please. As in,
yeah. Not today.
Not today. So it's not that I don't feel sad or things like that, because I do. But I've realized I tend to feel my mom's spirit, if I can put it that way, around me more when I'm sad. Mm. It's like she's there like,
what is going on?
Get up.
Yeah.
As in, get up, fight, keep moving. I know I'm not here physically, but so I'm like, I'm very conscious of that. And so if anybody, the point of this story, if anybody feels the same thing, I can say therapy won't make you forget your loved one.
It's not erasing.
It's not possible. Yeah. It's not. It just helps you deal with stuff better. Because I was telling her, from my point of view, it feels like you want your grief to be your identity.
And then you'll start feeling guilty when it's not there. Like when you feel happy, you're like, why?
Yes.
Why am I happy?
Yes.
It's almost like you're mocking your mom or whoever it is that has passed away.
Exactly.
And that's a very problematic space to be in. And it's a prison.
It really is
a prison.
It is.
Because how do you get out of that?
It really is. And she was telling me it's reached a point where, because she took some time to before she replied to my message. And she told me it's reached a point where when she shuns anybody who tries to talk to her about her mom. Mm. Such that now she doesn't really have anybody in her life anymore.
Mm.
Because it's been 7 years.
Yeah, I kind of almost, I know that feeling. It was there very briefly. Where you get angry if other people, let's say in the family, are happy and whatever, and you're just like, how dare you guys?
Yeah.
Like, how do you even attempt to just live life as though everything is normal? Obviously, there's a pain of losing a mom. There's a pain of certain experiences you've probably gone through together.
Yeah.
But then there's also the happy times you've had together, or the things that you learned from her.
Yeah, and yeah.
So what therapy will help you do is not only unpack your emotions, because it's confusing. There's so many emotions. There's guilt, there's sadness, there's pain. But also to give you the tools to know, how do I handle the different emotions that come?
Yes.
Because they will come.
Yes.
And either you handle them or they will handle you. So that's a long time to feel that.
It's a long
pain.
Time.
That's
it's
a long time.
Especially to choose it. Every day,
yeah.
To choose it in belief that that's how you show that you loved your mom. And I'm like, there are other ways that are not as damaging to you.
I can understand how she got there, though.
I think I'm just 7 years. I'm like,
I can understand, because when it becomes, think about with your mom, you're so, you do anything, even right now. You do anything to not forget. And you feel guilt when you're forgetting something. Let's say you forget your mom's birthday. You feel, what is wrong with me? You know what I mean? And so this pain she holds on to is very comforting.
And
it's almost like
comfort in my pain.
Yeah, it's very comforting. That's very, therapy would help. I hope she. But I can see how she got there. But it's a very scary place, man. It's very scary. So you want people to send in questions for Candy?
Yes.
So there were quite a few people with grief, battling grief. You can actually send through questions on that. Or you can DM Val on Instagram. So I'm going to put her handle in the description. Candy will answer the questions on your blog.
Yes.
Okay, so when will that blog post go up?
22nd May.
So you can send through a voice note with your questions to +254 768 628 790, which will also be in the caption. And Val's Insta is @MissLwile.
Okay,
which I'll also put in the description box, so you can send through your questions on all things therapy, the things you're scared about, asking why you should even consider it. You finally get a chance to ask somebody who is skilled enough to answer them.
And that's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.